Come here. Come here, you. Come here, you. You're good, you. You're good. My name's Michael Varian, and I'm an alcoholic. And I knew he wasn't going to get high. I knew that. He had received the gift of desperation, and I could feel it. And I could see it in his eyes. I could see it. Before we get started, I want to apologize. I didn't do drugs. Please forgive me. I'm just an old-fashioned drunk. And if you did drugs, it's okay. Don't go. I can introduce you to a lot of people who did them. There's a lot of dual addicted. The book talks about it, too. I'll show you in the book. So there's some old-timers, you know, very narrow-minded. This is AA. Hey, we don't talk about it. You know, the other things and the other things and the other things and the dry substance. It's drugs. Hey, stop it. Stop it with the nonsense. I mean, our co-founder was dual-addicted. I can tell you about others of my addictions. See, my name is Michael Varian. My middle name is Moore. It really is. I mean, I always want more. I get into the Agendaz. I don't know why they made a lid. We don't need a lid. I go through it like it was free. I mean, it's amazing. I want more. Oh, you should see me gambling in Vegas. 4 slot machines at the same time. I go nuts. When I get dry drunk, it's amazing. And shopping. Oh, you think your women have a problem. Oh, when I go on a bender, my wife says, calm down, you've got 40 pink shirts. Light pink, dark pink, short pink, long pink. Oh, the khaki shorts, what a nonsense that is. And I got a bag full. Anything to... It's amazing. It's amazing. I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I was a baby. I was 26 years old. I was a baby. There was nothing but dinosaurs in the room. And today's standard, you come to AA at 26 years old, you're an old man. I mean, you know, it's changed. It really has. With this dual addiction, oh, they come in a mess. I came in, I was a mess. They told me. Oh. I didn't volunteer come to Alcoholics Anonymous. That's not how it took place. At the time, November 14th, 1977, it was a Monday morning, and I came due to my job. I had a high-profile job, very, very high-profile, and I had to attend this meeting on alcoholism, and there was a doctor describing alcoholism in medical terms. And once in a while, he gave me the evil eye. You know, he put me in the hospital 3 times. You know, he just gave me that eye. And then there was 2 members of Alcoholics Anonymous who shared their story. The first one, I congratulated him. I said, don't you ever drink again. And the second one, he's 20 minutes into the thing, and I said, did my wife call you? He says, no, why? I said, you're talking about me. He says, no, I'm not. He invited me to stay after the meeting and answer the 20 questions of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it was the first time I took a test without cheating on the guy next door. I had put down my own answers. It was very simple. It's yay or nay, and you check them off. And I'm done, and I said, what do I do with the sheet? And he says, give it to me. I can't wait to see how I did. I says, how did I do? He says, did you read it at the bottom, the small print? I said, no, not really. He says, read that. At the bottom it says, if you answered yes at one of these questions, we think you may have a problem. If you answered yes at 2, we think definitely. And if you answered yes at 3, you are definitely an alcoholic. I says, how'd they do? He says, you got 19 yes. You did good. You did good. And then he told me there was a solution. And he read what John just read. There was a solution. He gave me hope. And he says, we're going to go to an AA meeting. An AA meeting. This guy, he's one of those guys that's so calm that he makes you nervous. He's one of those. Very soft-spoken. He carries the big book with him. Always has his arms closed. And he walks into the room and he knows everybody. And he makes it a duty to see everybody. And he tells them, this is Michael's a new guy. Like they can't tell. I'm as red as a beet. I can't hold still. What took place at the meeting, I have no idea. No recollection whatsoever. It's the after meeting when they corralled me outside and they told me I was the most important member. And they surrounded me. And they said, Michael, we're going to go for a cup of coffee. Would you join us? So we went to a coffee shop. We got jacked up. We drank about 15 cups. Smoked a half a pack of cigarettes. Got wired real good. And I said, what's next? He says, we're just in time for the 2 o'clock meeting. And we went to the meeting. And he walked in with the meeting with the book. And he scoped the room, told everybody, this is Michael's newcomer. And after the meeting, they corralled me and they said, we're going to go for a cup of coffee. Would you join us? And we went to Dunkin' Donuts. We got jacked up. We had about 10 cups. Smoked a half a pack of cigarettes. We're going to go fast forward. Fast forward. November 14, 1977. It's 3:20 a.m. He pulls into my driveway. My house is lit up like a Christmas tree. My wife is pacing from the living room to the kitchen. She can't wait to see me walk in. And I walk in. And she looks at me. I said, Sunshine, you'll never believe this. I'm an alcoholic. She says, I believe it. She says, you're not drunk. I said, no. She says, where are you coming from? I said, Sunshine, an AA meeting. She says, it's 3:20 in the morning. I said, they take this stuff serious. It's a meeting. It's an after meeting. Smoke a cigarette, have a cup of coffee, get jacked up. Here we are. 6 o'clock next morning. What's that? Go to the door. Who's there? The guy with the book. I said, what's up? He says, we're just in time for the 7 o'clock. I got into my shoes that were still hot from the night before. And we started this whole merry-go-round again. At the 11 o'clock, I fall out of the chair. I go into convulsions. I'm in DTs. I don't tell nobody. They ask me, how do you drink? Minimizing. Thank God they knew what to do. Call 911. They scoop me up. I'm on the gurney, double IV. And they got me in ICU and they're taking care of me. Who walks in? Guy with the book. I said, what are you doing here? He says, AA goes everywhere. I said, geez. He says, I'll be back. And he came back and he brought 2 other guys with him. And they all surrounded me around the bed and they said, thank you. I said, for what? You're helping us stay sober. We look one look at you. And they kept coming back. And he says, I'll be back tonight. I said, there's no visiting hours. He says, hey, he gets in anyway. And he brought 2 more with him. And he says, Michael, don't worry. They have my name at the front desk. When they're done with you, they're going to call me. 6 days later, they called him. But during that whole 6 days, he was coming in and out, bringing people. They called him, and he came, and he had the book. I said, what's up? He says, we're just in time for the 11 o'clock. I want to thank him to this day. He made me an active member of Alcoholics Anonymous. He did. You know, the fellowship is the greatest in the world. It's in over 150 countries, 28 languages. You remember when you say you are. Nobody frisked you at the door. They didn't ask you for ID, no membership card, no dues or fees. Where do you get a gig like that? I'm telling you. It's amazing. It's the greatest fellowship in the world. And a lot of people stay abstinent in the fellowship. You can. It's a safe haven. You can come here for 1 hour and everything's okay. And we love you the way you are. It's the other 23 that's waiting outside. Brace yourself. But then if you become a meeting junkie and you do 10 meetings a day and 10 after meetings, you're going to drink a lot of coffee. And you might die from lung cancer smoking a lot of cigarettes. But you're going to abstain from. There's an old, there's a total other dimension, which is called sobriety. Total other dimension. But first and foremost, they throw the word sobriety in Alcoholics Anonymous like it was free. You got to become abstinent before you become sober. You got to abstain from. AA doesn't stop anybody from drinking. You got to be willing to stop. The only requirement is to have a desire to stop drinking. If you don't have that one, you're screwed. A lot of people comfort different reasons. Get the authorities off their back, try to get their wives back, try to save their job, try to save their marriage. I can promise you, under those reasons, you risk not to see him in a couple months. You have to have willingness. We're going to look outside the box, because that way I don't ruffle any feathers when I look outside the box. I compare Alcoholics Anonymous to World Gym. It's in every city there's a World Gym. And you're a lifetime member with the gold card. A lot of people go to World Gym. Not everybody goes to the gym for the right motives. You walk in at the gym and you see the guy on the wall with the six pack, the pipes, and that's what you strive for. So you buy the gold card. Lifetime. The $800 version. I got a few of those in my pocket. I thought by buying the gold card, I'd start looking like the guy. You got to read the small print underneath. That guy goes to the gym 6 days a week. He works out intensively with a trainer. And he watches what he eats. I just want to give the $800 and have the result. I'm always looking for the easier, softer way. So I'm at the gym. And you look around. I scope around. You know, I keep an eye on things. And I'm a spotter. And I watch these people. They're pulling. They're pushing. They're squatting. They're doing all kinds of stuff. I don't know what they're doing. But I watch them. I got pride. I got false pride. Don't repeat this to nobody, but this is one of my major character defects, is false pride. On a scale of 1 to 10, I'm a 44. I'm off the chart. So I'm watching these people, and about half an hour after, I'm brave enough to start pulling, and to start pushing, and to start, I think I'm doing it. I think I got this. The next morning, I wake up. I'm in pain. I hurt all over. I hurt places I didn't even know could feel. I said, this gym stuff, no, no good. No good. I'm not cut out for the gym. I put the kibosh on the gym. This AA stuff, not for me. See, I forgot a minor detail. at the gym, you take on a trainer so he can walk you through the process and show you how to handle the equipment so you don't hurt yourself. In AA, you take on a sponsor, which we call a sponsor, a coach, to guide you through the process so you don't hurt yourself or hurt others while doing so. See, I refer to electricity a lot, 110 and 220. 110 is throughout the household that keeps the lights on, runs the TV, the radio, the small stuff, the petty stuff. That's like us. We run the show on 110. We don't need God. There's no need to disturb him. Don't bother him. He's busy. On 110, you can live a normal life. You know when to feed yourself. You know when to bathe yourself. You know when to relieve yourself. You have all these abilities to run your life on 110. But you need 220, the big stuff, to run the AC. You need the big power, the power greater than 110. And it's the same thing. I have the same analogy. In the morning, when upon awakening, I'm on 110. And I have to make a decision right there, right then, if I'm going to plug up on 220. I'm going to ask for support. A power greater than myself. Just so you understand what kind of drunk I was. We're going to go on one bender. We're not going to get drunk for long. We're just going to drink one time. I'll give you an example. I woke up one morning. There was four people in my bed. I didn't know one of them. I looked around. I did one of these. Slipped on my trousers. Went down the hallway. And there was a gentleman at the front desk. I says, "Excuse me, where are we?" He says, "We're in Port-au-Prince, Haiti." I says, "What day are we?" He says, "Friday." I says, "When did I get here?" He said, "Tuesday night." My third question, "Do you have a phone?" He says, "Yeah, I got to call Sunshine." I call Sunshine. I said, "Don't worry, I'm in Haiti. Next flight out, I'm on my way." See, when I drink, I become a bobblehead. I say yes to anything. Okay. It was easy back then in Montreal. I drank with the old boys, and they told me in Haiti for $20, they love you long time. All month. And the old boys used to go. And they said, "Michael, you want to come?" That's how I ended up there. I mean, total on a blackout. It's amazing. It's amazing. That's the kind of drinking I do. I never had that intention. Never. I always stop for one drink just to calm me down. And I'd walk in and I'd signal. And I just said I was stopping for one. I gave him a signal. Because I always thought he'd be busy. Made sure. And next thing you know, it's 11 o'clock. I said, "What happened? What happened?" You know you've got a problem when your barman suggests that you should stop drinking. He says, Michael, I've served a lot of drunkards. In your case, I'd strongly recommend that you look into it. You do? I was grateful to be introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous. I became an active member in Alcoholics Anonymous, and that's what I did. I'm going to tell you, I walked around in AA with untreated alcoholism. I was dry drunk. I'm 4 years abstinent. I got the medallion in the pocket. 4 years. I'm doing stuff I didn't do when I drank. I've got a mistress. I've never had one when I drank. I've got a mistress. It's a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other. You can give out your number. She calls the house and your wife answers. She says, it's for you. She says, who's that? I says, she's in the program. What's her name? It's anonymous. Where are you going? On a 12-step call. When are you going to be back? Oh, we know when they start. We never know when they finish. And then there's the weekend retreat. Oh, those are the finest. You leave Friday afternoon and you come back Sunday night. And your wife prepares everything, your suitcase for the weekend retreat. They're fabulous if you go to the retreat. I make a left turn, I go to the mistress for the weekend. And I come back Sunday night. The guilt, the shame, and the remorse. 5 years abstinent. The mistress. I'm chasing the pink and the green. The almighty dollar. Working three jobs. Chasing the pink and the green. Hang in there! Oh, yeah, yeah. Obsession to commit suicide. Never had it when I drank. 5 years abstinent. I want to do it. There's only three things that enter in my mind. This is the second grace. The first took place November 14th, 1977. The second grace is going to become 5 years abstinent. I have three thoughts that come to mind. One, to pick up. I had 5 years experience in the room. That wasn't an option. Two, to bite it. Three, pick up the phone. Who do I call? The guy with the book. I call him. I said, Gaston, you'll never guess who this is. He says, it's Michael Barron. I says, how did you know? He says, I've been waiting 5 years for this call. And I told him, he says, how are you doing? I said, not too good. He says, I didn't think so. He came over and he 12-stepped me. I had been 5 years abstinent. He says, now you're going to go to treatment. Go to treatment? Yeah. We're going to pause here. Slow you down. Sent me off to Hazleton. 5 years abstinent. The guy starts, the treatment starts Monday morning. The guy next to me, I says, how much time you got? I saw him Sunday when his brother-in-law dropped him off. He finished off the court in the parking lot. He's doing better than I am. I got 5 years. The guy's all smiles. He says, I'm looking forward to this. I says, you are. 30 days go by. They give out the certificates. Lillian, the counselor, Yugoslavian, blonde, blue eyes. Michael Varin, come on up and get your certificate. Everybody applauds. She says, Michael, all the therapists and the counselors got together this morning and they came to one conclusion. We're going to invite you to stay another 30 days. Everybody left. I thought they took a liking to me. I thought I was special. 30 days go by, and they have the presentation of the certificates. And she calls out my name. Michael Varin, come on up and get your certificate. She says, Michael, all the counselors and the therapists got together this morning. They came to one conclusion. We're going to invite you to stay another 30 days. I says, no. Deja vu all over again. It's like in third grade. Everybody was moving on up. I stayed back. I said, what's wrong with this picture? She says, Michael, you are so sick, my friend. If we let you go, we wouldn't be able to live with our conscience. We can't afford to lose you. That's when I paid attention. That's when I found out the key word in step one is admit. That's when they took me to the dictionary and they showed me the word admit is recognizing as being true, the evidence. The word accept in the dictionary is leaving as is. Nowhere does it say in step one, we have accepted. It says we have admitted. I was trying to accept it. We have admitted, recognizing as being true. Two, came to believe. My BS needed some severe altering. See, in the fellowship, your BS is going to get altered because there's a lot of other BSers. They can smell it a mile away. In the fellowship, they'll alter your BS. But the program will alter your BS, your belief system. Your belief system will get an overhaul from this program. And I needed one. I have to share with you, unfortunately, I'm not Jewish. I would have liked to, because the Catholic, they did a job on me. They did a number on me, trust me. Oh, they had me in hell. Oh. To think it and to do it was the same price. I went all the way. I didn't hold back. They had a number on me. They had me believing. I told you my belief system needed altering. They had me believing if you masturbate, you're going to go blind. I used to do it with my eyes closed. Let's say he didn't catch me. No wonder I wear glasses today. I mean, you don't go blind. But that's the intensity they had me believing. I needed a complete overhaul in that area. Today I'm spiritually fit. Did I tell you I like the book? This is our co-founder, Dr. Bond. Unlike most of our crowd, I didn't get over my craving for liquor much during the first 2.5 years of abstinence. He uses the word abstinence. He's not sober about it. First 2.5 years of abstinence. He was hanging in there. It was always with me. But at no time have I been anywhere near yielding. I used to get terribly upset when I saw my friends drink, and I knew I could not. But I schooled myself to believe that though I once had the same privilege, and I had abused it frightfully, it was a withdrawal. So it doesn't behoove me to squawk about it, for after all, nobody ever had to throw me down and pour liquor down my throat. If you think you're an atheist, agnostic, or septic, or have any other form of intellectual pride which keeps you from accepting what is in this book, I feel sorry for you. If you still think you are strong enough to beat the game alone, that is your affair. But if you really and truly want to quit drinking liquor for good and all, and sincerely feel that you must have some help, we know that we have the answer for you. It never fails. Let me repeat that. It never fails. If you go about it with half the zeal you have when you've been in the habit of showing when you were getting another drink, your Heavenly Father will never let you down. Wow. Can't get a better guarantee than that. I'm going to finish with the blueprint. I'll give you the Reader's Digest version, the blueprint. It's 2 pages. It's in the big book. The meeting gave me what my sponsor likes to call one of the most important words in the big book of AA. It put a we in my life. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol. I no longer had to be alone. Fellowship and activity kept me coming back enough to work the 12 steps. The more I did, the better I felt. I started hanging out with my sponsor and some of the active people at the meeting. They showed me how gratitude is something that is demonstrated, not talked about. Gratitude is action. They suggested that I was lucky to still have a car, even though it was a junker. Therefore, I might consider taking the less fortunate to meetings. They reminded me that you can't teach anything to a know-it-all, so remain teachable. When old behavior started to creep back in, they called me on it. That's what a support group is for. They can see where you're going before you can see yourself. They called me on it. When life just didn't feel right, they talked about developing faith and relying on a higher power. They told me lack of power was my dilemma, and there is a solution. I took to AA immediately and believed it like a child. If I leveled my pride enough to thoroughly follow their path, I'd get what they had. And it worked. Starting out, I just wanted to keep these authorities off my back. I never bargained for this program changing the course of my life and showing me a way to freedom and happiness. Still very impatient, I wanted the whole deal right away. That's why I related so well to the story of a wide-eyed new person and an old-timer. Envying his accomplishment of many years of sobriety, the old timer slapped down his hand like a gavel and said, "I'll trade you even my 30 years for your 30 days right now." He knew what the newcomer had yet to find out, that true happiness is found in the journey, not the destination. So today, I'm much more comfortable with life, as Alcoholics Anonymous has promised me. I know they were right when they say it keeps getting better. My circumstances have steadily improved. My spiritual life has grown and matured. Words cannot begin to describe the feelings in my heart as sometimes I ponder how much my life has changed, how far I have come, how much there is yet to discover. And though I'm not sure where my journey might take me next, I know I'll owe it to the grace of God in three words in the 12 steps. Continue, improve, and practice. Oh yeah, one more thing they said. Humility was the key. It's an amazing fellowship. The book is the guide, the instruction. Hook up with a coach that will take you through the process to make sure you don't get hurt. Thank you.